and good evening, everyone. Welcome inside the Cape Studios downtown, Adrian, St. Sports Weekend here on a Veterans Day. Thank you very much to all the veterans out there. As always, as we do our thank event here, just informed we raised over $54,000 today for veterans in Lenawee County.
Yeah, I saw it out front there, and gosh, that's awesome, man.
Pretty incredible. The giving of Lenawee County.
Yeah, especially in this day and age, you know.
Yes.
You go to the store and two Taco Supremes are like six and a half. I'm going, what the heck is going on?
$54,879.45.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
That's phenomenal. Well, thank you to everyone out there. But again, St. Sports Weekly, thank you to Santa Heights University. And we've got some, we had a change up today. I got a text earlier today that was wrestling and I guess the bowlers beat them out as they're here tonight. As Coach Kane standing off in the background because his two of his bowlers, Olivia Johnston and Cooper Gruling, are with us tonight. Once again, Jeff Bowman, Fred Smith, matching sweatshirts too, Fred.
Yeah. You know, I feel like part of this team now, you know.
There you go.
I'm representing.
Well, it's nice that we get to talk to you guys, though, because both of you were just able to compete last weekend. And the good thing about it is, it was home. Nice to have a Friday, Saturday event. You got to get a little closer. Pull that up to you. But Friday and Saturday. So we got Cooper Gruling out of Bedford and Olivia Johnston from Montague. So welcome to St. Sports Weekly, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate you having us.
So I know you're part of a trio that came from Bedford, and you're the last remaining one to be on the air, I guess. So
you
finally made it.
Yep, finally got it.
You hit the big time.
Yep.
Well, explain a little bit how three of you guys got down here to Siena Heights.
Yeah, well, we were really well. So the three twins here are our good friend here, Logan, and then I actually have a twin brother who looks absolutely nothing like me, who's bowling on this team as well.
No kidding.
Yeah. And my brother and I were really torn on what we wanted to do after high school for a while, up until probably around our sophomore, junior year. We saw that our good friend here was getting into the high school bowling team, doing really well, and we started going after school with him, just practicing, having fun, and it was a good time, and we started getting really good at it. So we just kind of took it and ran with it, and he saw that, Siena Heights was an option, so we decided to look into it.
Nice. So what are you studying here?
I'm studying business administration.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, it's kind of neat then. Something that, you know, midway through high school you didn't even know you were going to do, and now you're doing it at the collegiate level.
Yeah. It's awesome stuff. It's definitely way different than I thought, but in really good ways.
Yeah.
All right. So how? So you said it's way different. Talk about that.
So, like, the intensity, like, just the overall togetherness of the team during the tournaments. It's just a different level of hype every time, you know, we're doing well or whatever. It's just always super intense and super exciting. And then there's also tough times too, though. You know, the patterns are much harder on the lanes that mm-hmm. we're bowling on compared to high school. You know, most people, like Coach told us, you know, when we signed on here that, you know, we would experience a 20 to 30 pin drop in average from high school to college.
No kidding.
Yeah, sure enough. Definitely in that ballpark. It was definitely a jump.
Yeah, that's a little humbling, isn't it?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
No, seriously. I mean, and that's something that the people like me that's not a bowling expert didn't really understand when Coach, years ago when we started bowling, Coach and I have worked together for many years, and on Friday, we have a group of guys that we have lunch together once a month or so, and we're down to bowling out of pack. So here we are. We kind of hung around. I didn't see. We were looking for you. But you're right about the hype and the whole, I noticed that. It was great. You packed that place. And Coach talked about this at our preview the other day, you know, and you guys done it. It's a great thing that you and Adrian do. This year, Adrian's was Friday, and Sienna's was Saturday. But from what I understand, the men did pretty good both days, right?
Right. They finished first place back-to-back for both tournaments for the first time in school history.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's awesome because
and
I know we're having some issues. Coach mentioned on just getting the results from Adrian on our website, right? Because that's how we kind of that's how I follow stuff, you
right?
Know, but that so talk about the season thus far for you, Cooper, and the men's team.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, it was a much better start than we anticipated, I would say. We had a rough ending last season, and, these past few tournaments we've been able to place pretty high, been able to get some points for sectionals, and now to be able to get these back-to-back wins from these tournaments to go into a break is a huge, huge way to go into Thanksgiving here.
Well, I learned something earlier today that Coach and I were talking before you got here about subbing in during events. So you can sub. Did you know this, Fred?
No,
we're going to have Coach explain it all.
Yeah, we'll have.
I was way over my head, but I did not realize that you have like a starter, and then you can sub somebody in if you're struggling a little. How does that go? I mean, especially like if you're not the starter and you come in and kind of in relief, do you know, like at least in baseball, you get to some warm-ups and stuff. But
right.
Bowling, you just say, Coach says, Cooper, it's your turn. Go in there.
Yep, pretty much. You just have to be ready to go, ready to play. You know, you just have to pay attention to the line everyone else is playing, you know, depending on where they're standing on the bowling lane and everything, and just try to replicate a similar line to it.
Yeah, we were talking. Well, they were the starter, and they came in, because I was trying to look for results. I said, well, if they were the starting person, they get the result, and whoever comes in relief doesn't show up at all. And so I was trying to figure all that out, and I had no idea that you could do that. So do you do that sometimes then?
Yeah, yep. I sometimes come in for just spares, and there is a lot of swapping that you can do. You know, if someone's having a rough game, you know, usually we'll talk about, you know, three or so opens in a row. We'll usually try to take somebody out and give someone else a chance. But, that's usually how we run things. It's definitely difficult, though, up at the top during those tournaments.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, how tough is the whack?
It is tough, man. It is long, and it was very humbling that first year. It's a very long and demanding tournament, but they are a blast.
Now, you said you didn't look anything like your brother, so I had to look it up, and
yeah,
you're right.
I did. Yeah.
Holy cow. Nobody would ever think that at all.
Nope,
so you could probably fool a lot of people.
Yeah. No
win
doubt,
some money on some betting and stuff on that one, probably.
Yeah. Most people think we're just completely fooling with them when
right.
we first meet. It's like, sorry, we're not kidding.
Oh, that's crazy. So what do you, you're studying business?
Yep.
What do you want to do with that?
Well, I want to maybe hopefully start my own business with it, or maybe get high up somewhere in some sort of company somewhere, hopefully. But we'll see. I'm just trying to see what my options are, really.
Okay.
So what's your – are you expected to graduate? You're a junior now, so
yep.
A year from this May?
Yep.
Okay, so you're on schedule.
Yep, we're right on schedule.
Good. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And did you think business right from the start, or did you
– Yeah, I pretty much did.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, and then we got Olivia here with us, and again from Montague. So how did – I was talking to Coach Chu before. You're the only person at your high school that's ever gone to state?
Yes, I am.
Wow.
That's kind of what made me realize that I wanted to bowl in college, actually. We didn't even have a team at my high school until my junior year, and one of my friends just came up to me one day, and she's like, hey, we're starting a bowling team. Do you want to join? And I thought about it. I was like, I guess so. You know, why not? And then I ended up going to state my very first year. I got third place at regionals, and still, as of now, I'm the only one from my high school who's gone to state. Hopefully this year, some of the bowlers are looking pretty good. But yeah, I went to state, and I was like, oh, this is something that I could do in college.
Right.
So, yeah.
So how did that translate to getting down here then?
I actually heard about Siena through one of my dad's coworkers. His coworker's daughter was Coach's GA, actually, the year when I was a senior in high school. She was the GA. So she's like, you should really check out Siena. And it was really great because Siena gives me a lot of opportunities to be involved in the band as well as bowling, which a lot of schools won't allow you to do.
Okay.
So that really intrigued me, even though it is a little bit farther away from my house compared to some other options. Yeah. But being able to do both things that I love was really, really great.
Yeah, you pass all the Grand Rapids schools to get down.
Yes.
We appreciate
it. Yep.
Because I'm telling you, an old-time Siena recruiter, man. They talk about the big blue wall. I could never penetrate that big Grand Rapids wall.
Yeah.
I really couldn't do it. It was hard. My question is, what instrument do you play?
I have played the oboe since sixth grade.
Wow.
And then I picked up the alto saxophone in high school, so I play both.
Okay.
Here.
Are you in marching band as well? Or?
Yep, marching band, concert band, and jazz band.
Okay.
Wow, so you're busy. So
yes.
When you were in high school, did you play other sports at all? Or?
I played soccer my freshman year of high school, both indoor and outdoor. And back in middle school, I had played soccer, basketball. I tried lacrosse for a day. That was really hard. I couldn't do that one. But that's about it, yeah.
And then you're a psychology major, and you're a senior, correct?
Yes, I am.
All right. Now, did you start here as a psych major? Is that kind of where, or did you transition into that from something else?
I came in undecided.
Okay.
I was weighing between social work and psychology, so I took introduction classes to both and just ended up deciding that psychology was what I wanted to do. I also originally came in with a Spanish minor.
Okay.
No kidding.
My goal was to be a counselor, and being able to speak Spanish would open up a lot of opportunities.
Sure would.
Yeah. But ultimately, I decided that counseling's not what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I dropped the Spanish minor and picked up a business administration minor just because it has a lot of good, like, general skill sets that also go really hand in hand with psychology. So we're looking now kind of something in that field.
So you're looking at graduating in May?
Yes, I'll be in May.
Okay, so right now, you know, gosh, you're going to be out there.
I know.
What, six
Crazy.
Months or
yeah.
so?
Yeah. Don't remind me.
Don't remind you. But and that's always a tough thing, you know.
Yeah.
You have some, I don't know how to say it, you have some marketable skills.
Mm-hmm.
Have you looked at doing an internship of any type?
I actually did my internship this past summer.
Did you?
Yep, I did it through the Trinity Health Hospital System back in Muskegon.
Yes,
so
that's outstanding.
Yes, so I shadowed under a behavioral health specialist. So I sat in on a lot of counseling sessions. I did a lot of research. I made brochures and like resource packets for people who needed help. And she was really great. She also got me to shadow a lot of other people in other positions like throughout the hospital system. So it's actually what I want to do hopefully next year is community benefits, which came from a woman that I shadowed this summer. It was really funny. She ended up, like, she went to college with my dad. Like, they were in the same friend group and everything in college, we found out. But she said that she could hire me right out of college, hopefully.
Right.
So that's kind of what we're thinking right now.
Are you talking benefits for... go ahead.
It would be like helping find shelter for the homeless, like providing food for people, helping with a community garden, doing safe drug disposals, basically anything for like the underprivileged, like helping them get the resources need.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But doing the, I guess it was good that you did this internship and whatnot, because you felt like therapy counseling wasn't your thing.
Yes. Yep, it's definitely great, but it's just not what I see myself doing.
Right.
And so that's why I really appreciated my boss allowing me to see what other options I had, because I never would have known that, you know, maybe community benefits is something that I want to do.
That's awesome, because I just hear more and more how not only do internships help you clarify your goals, but they lead you to other positions.
Yes,
so
yes, for sure.
I always ask that, and that's awesome. So we got to get back to the big business. You guys also, I think, were third in the Halo, right?
Yep, on Saturday.
And you won the Adrian?
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
So talk about this weekend.
It was great. It was definitely one of my favorite weekends that I've had being here. It was our first time placing first in a tournament since I've been here, honestly. And the team dynamic this year is really great. I was a little bit skeptical at the beginning of the year because 5 of our 10 girls are new.
Right.
So you never really know.
You lost a lot of kids from last year, didn't you?
We only lost one or two girls from last year, But it's still just, you never know when there's new people coming in, like how they're going to mesh right. with the rest of the team. But we got really lucky and everyone's great. Everyone gets along well. So the whole weekend we were just having fun. Spirits were high. And of course it helps when you're, you know, playing well too.
Right.
But it was just a great weekend setting school records on the men's and women's side.
Now Kyle talked a little bit about the differences between the high school and college. Is mm-hmm. that something that was really... Was it hard for you to figure out some of the oil patterns and how to adapt?
Yeah, definitely. That's something that is not taught a lot in high school unless you, I guess, choose to try and learn it. A lot of times it's more just the basics, and then once you get to college, it's kind of a surprise in a way. I mean, you know that there's more to it, but you don't really know what you're getting into. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a learning curve, like Cooper mm-hmm. said. You are kind of expecting that your average is going to drop maybe 20, 30 pins the first year or so until you adjust, which can be kind of frustrating when you're a freshman because right. you're in your mind, you're like, oh, I'm not performing as well as I was in high school, but it's because you're adjusting to a whole different environment. But once you get the hang of it, I mean, it's honestly even more fun than high school.
Yeah, yeah. I'll bet. Yeah. I know it's a lot more work, though. There's longer days, longer tournaments,
oh, yeah.
more games, that's for mm-hmm. sure. When it comes down to that. We're going to take a quick time out and come back and talk a little bit about what you guys' expectations are for the rest of this year coming up. Right after this here, Saints Sports Weekly, 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
Degree program in Michigan is now offering a completely online MBA degree. The Siena Heights University MBA will help students hone skills and better develop their talents as ethical business innovators. Business graduates, as well as students from many other majors, including nursing and engineering, are good candidates for the Siena Heights MBA, and no prerequisite entry courses are required. Classes are enrolling now. To find out more, visit start.sienaheights.edu/MBA. Learn what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at sienaheights.edu. At Siena Heights University, we make transferring easy and ensure you're on your best path forward. Study online with our nationally ranked program, or commute from home and get the traditional college experience by taking courses on our Adrian campus. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Visit sienaheights.edu and find out what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at sienaheights.edu or visit sienaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
Thank you.
And welcome back inside the Cave Studios here downtown. Adrian, Jeff Bowman, Fred Smith, and it's a bowling night tonight here on Saint Sports Weekly. And again, it's fun to talk some bowling because it's something everybody can do, whether good, bad, indifferent. And that's one thing that's going to be neat for you guys is it's always something that you can do afterwards. And Cooper, we talked to Olivia a little bit about other sports. Did you and your brother, or you guys, did you do other sports at Bedford at all?
We didn't do any other sports in high school. We weren't really interested in doing anything else. We tried a lot of stuff in middle school, mainly community education stuff,
right,
like basketball, baseball, and that was fun and whatever, but we weren't really that invested into it.
Okay.
But, yeah, we didn't really get caught into anything sports related until sophomore year of high school with bowling. So,
well, you know, your high school, and I don't know now because I haven't kept up. I mean, Bedford used to be big. I mean, how many kids go there?
There's around a student body of 1,500.
15, and your graduating class is what, 300-400?
Yeah, right around there.
Now Montague, if you're playing Clinton, has got to be what, about 300-400?
I think it's around 600 now.
600
I graduated
now?
With around 120.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, so that's bigger than I thought.
Yeah,
yeah, it's grown.
Yeah. It's a big school.
Yeah. Well, anytime you're 100 a class.
Oh, I know, yeah.
And it's just amazing, though, you know, when you go to school like Bedford, it's hard to get on any team sometimes as a freshman, you know, even to get involved in a program. But I just want to take a step back, and I guess first we'll start with you, Cooper. And you've been here 3 years. How do we finish in the WAC your first 2 years, and what are you hoping to do this year?
I would really love to place really high in the WAC this year. I really expect us to get top five. We have the talent to do it. We have the energy to do it, and our team loves each other, you know, and that's the bottom line of all of it. You know, if you're well-connected, you're going to be able to work just fine with everybody and make it all work. And I think this team can do it, and I really expect them to make it to sectionals.
Yeah, and that's the key. Now, have you made sectionals either of your first 2 years?
Not yet.
Yeah, so that's something out there you really are looking to do.
Yeah, no doubt.
And that comes, I know we'll get the head man soon and we'll get all the facts, but you have to finish high and you collect points. Is that what you do to qualify?
Right.
And that is different. So in other words, and we say this every year on the air, but we're talking NAIA Nationals and then USBC Nationals, which is United States Collegiate Bowling, which is where the sectionals come. So how many, and this is a question we ask, how many are we bowling nationally now, Coach, in NAIA?
We're almost to 60 schools now.
Okay, good. So it's grown a ton. Where you're talking in USBC, you're dealing with
over 100 men's and women's different programs.
Right.
Wow. So how many, you know, we have bowlers coming in here, and we always talk about, you know, somebody in baseball's got a bat bag with some gloves and, you know, a bat or two in there. What's your bowling bag like, or how many do you normally carry, and, you know, how many do you have?
I have a total of 12 balls, and I usually carry around 9 with me.
Well, I got to tell a funny story. When Coach first got here, and I've told this story every year, but he was telling me, Fred, we really can't travel in bands. Well, what the, why the hell not? You know, our golf team is saying, well, it had to do with how many, the weight of the bowling balls wasn't safe. You know, I had no idea that, so that's why I was down, you know, all the guys that we have lunch with were looking for small vans or bus. I said, guys, they have to bring big vehicles because the bowling balls weigh so much. You know, because there was no small vans there. They're big size vehicles. And that amazes me. 12 balls.
Yeah.
Crazy. Olivia, how about you?
I have a few less. I think I've had about 7. I usually carry 4 with me now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, to think of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's it's an interesting thing. So, you know, you've got your spare ball and you've got, you know, different things, one that moves a little more than others. So, now do you guys get, you can both answer to this and say, you know, when you get to a lane, do you get some warm-ups and kind of get to that pattern and kind of let you know what you want to do and which balls you can use?
So at the beginning of the tournaments, you usually get around 10 to 15 minutes of warm-up time, and then you go right into the tournament. But that's usually what you get, and then better hope you're ready.
So how many balls can you bring up to, you know, to say, okay, this match I'm rolling, I can, you know, you might bring 9, but do you can only maybe pull out 3, or what is it?
I believe the total is 7, right? Or is it?
It depends on the tournament, I believe. Some don't limit you. Certain tournaments, especially if there's going to be a lot of teams, they can limit it to whatever they want. Sometimes it's 6 or so.
Okay.
This is a silly question. And how much does a bowling ball cost?
Well, usually around 100 to 250 bucks.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And I didn't, you know. Wow.
So spare balls can go from $60 to $100, right, the plastic balls, but the stronger reactive balls can definitely be on the more expensive side.
See, and I didn't know it. That's interesting.
It's amazing what and with the technology, and it's probably changed a lot. Now, both of you two, are you one-hand or two-hand bowlers?
I'm one-hand.
Okay.
I'm also one-hand.
One-hand.
Yeah.
I just can't.
That was a shocker a few years ago, the two-hander thing. And then you watch it, and you can see, you know.
Yeah.
So getting back to your goal, obviously, hopefully getting top 5. How have we done in the first couple WAC events?
First couple WAC events, we placed top 6, I believe, in both of the first two WACs, I believe.
Okay.
Is that
right? Yeah.
I know this past one was a 6th place finish, so we're pleased with it. We were able to earn some points, but we're hoping to get higher.
Will this past weekend help you at all?
Yes.
Yeah, his coach is shaking his head because
absolutely
of Greenpoint. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, huge weekend in that department.
Okay. Now, Libby, how about you guys as far as the WAC goes, placing-wise in the first couple of tournaments?
We've been doing okay. The WAC is hard. There's a lot of really good bowling teams in the WAC that are ranked top 25, 30 in the nation even. So we have a lot of really good competition, which can be tricky.
Right.
But we've been doing our best, and we're improving every tournament. And like Cooper said, this weekend was huge for us too. Placing first and third place will boost us up a bunch and give us a lot of points to hopefully make sectionals at the end of the year.
In your first 2 years, how did the team do? I mean, did you guys get to sectionals in either the...
We have not. Since I've been here, we've
all
not
right.
made sectionals
So you
yet.
Guys were right at the... It's a big year then.
Yeah, so we're hoping this year.
Well, this is interesting again because it's you know, you're kind of at that level, but you really, you know, you can make that jump. And is that something, you know, I know you talk about, you know, the team dynamics, and is that something that you feel, especially for you, Olivia, you know, being from a smaller school too, and the team dynamic and how that works out as far as, you know, girls getting along and with the recruits coming in. You talked about the freshmen. It's a pretty good group. They meshed well together.
For sure. And I think that helps a lot at tournaments too. I mean, if everyone's grouchy and in a bad mood, no one's going to bowl well, you know?
Right.
So it really helps to have a good team dynamic where we're all picking each other up and staying in good spirits. And I think that helps our scores too in the end.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel the same way on that, Cooper?
Absolutely. Definitely. Mm-hmm. And I think it also helps, like, especially if we do get in a slump, it can help us to stay positive to make a comeback if needed.
And does it help out? I mean, you got your brother with you and also Logan. I mean, you got 3 guys from the same school that have been around together a lot. Does that do you have that seem to help? And do you have guys that come around because of that in your grouping?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely been a group friendship thing that's we built off this team, and it's been great. It's really helped us build a great team that's really together and ready to hopefully win some tournaments.
You know, so leadership is always a big thing, and culture, leadership culture. And as two experienced veteran bowlers, senior and junior, how would you describe A, your leadership style, and B, how has the culture changed since you've been here?
Well, I believe at the start, I was really the kind of person that wouldn't ask questions or, you know, wasn't really, I was always intimidated to ask for help. And over time, as I've kind of progressed and made more friends with teammates and talked with coach more, it's really helped to, it's helped me to realize, like, helping not just yourself but others is really just helps the team fundamentally just develop itself into one big strong group.
For me personally, I really like to lead by example because I feel like that's what the upperclassmen ahead of me did, especially when I was a freshman. I shouldn't say that I like didn't care. Like, of course, I always wanted to do well, but I'm kind of the person where, you know, if I make a mistake, I'm like, oh well, you know, we'll fix it later. But seeing how much other people would really want to do well began to motivate me more. I'm like, I really want to do well for my team. And so over the years, I think I've gotten to be more like that, where I really want to do well, not just for myself, but for everyone else too. And hopefully I can help encourage other people to feel the same way.
Yeah, I mean, especially looking at the roster, again, so many freshmen on this team that, you know, they hopefully are getting that from you in that leadership role to realize the next few years, this is what we have to do to try to improve and get better.
Yeah.
And I do see, looking at the women's roster, there's also there's a Bedford on the girls' team. Megan Heltman. So
yes,
you, not only three guys, you brought a girl in the team with you as well from Bedford. So
yes,
actually, she was here first.
She was here.
She's a senior.
She's our fifth year this year.
So. Oh, okay.
Yes.
How, Olivia, and this is maybe seems like a strange question, but I don't think it is. And that is your background in psychology and being a helper.
Yeah.
And learning about, you know, how we think and all that. How has that helped you athletically, and how has that helped you not only athletically, but in relating to others in that leadership aspect?
I would like to think that it helps a lot with mindset.
Right.
Even though, you know, you want to do well all the time and you need to have that motivation, you also need to remember that, like, it is okay to make mistakes.
Right.
Coach always tells us to have, like a short memory, like, know what you did wrong, but then move on. Don't get upset about it. And in psychology, I mean, we learn a lot about that, about how to, like, turn a negative situation into something positive. So that can be whether you make a bad shot, you know, you need to take it and learn from it. Or if you're having a bad day or someone else is having a bad day, you know, you need to help build them up and figure out what you can do to help them feel better, to keep everyone on, like, the most positive note that you can.
You know, one of the things as an old coach, you know, we used to tell our guys, we'd always ask them, and I wish they were here, there, what are you going to do now? In other words, that's it. What are you going to do now?
Right.
And you hear this over and over about playing each play in football and all that stuff, and I would assume it's each frame, each ball, and, you know, that, you know, and it's because we take things with us, whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it last night, even in the Lions football game. Boy, it was a rough one in the first half, but the running back for Cincinnati was really having a rough time, was really upset about it, right? And I didn't get a kick out of it, but I could see that's not helping his team out.
No, not at all.
And because he wasn't having a great day, you know, and when you're doing a team event, what's really combined, it's like when I say golf, you know, golf is really an individual team event. Mm-hmm. That's what bowling is. And, you know, it's just great to, you know, the hollering, bowling, it was howling the other day.
It gets loud. Yep.
Well, and you talk about, you know, the next shot and what's going on. And that's one thing that's interesting, especially because, you know, as like in golf, you talk about, Fred, I mean, there's no defense. I mean, you know, it's all you. But depending on what shot one does, you have to realize, what do I need to do for shot two?
Right.
Because it's not always the same, you know, and it's not like you're standing there shooting free throws and you know you're shooting at the same thing each time.
Right.
You know, so you've got shot one, shot two. So we talk about memory and forgetting, or, you know, what, okay, man, I had a bad shot, but now I need to make up for that, because if I want to pick up the spare, I've got to put that out of my mind and do something. And so is that, you know, sometimes where your mindset goes is because, okay, I've my first ball wasn't good, but what, how am I going to make it up to make this thing go the right way?
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
How do you deal with those solid 10 pins that you hit? You
know? Yeah, you just got to deep breathe and take it, you know, one frame at a time, and then hopefully you run it down and then just forget about it and move on to the next frame.
And you know? Put it right in the pocket, and that ball, you blast it right by the 10.
Yep.
The thing just sits right there, spins around or something, you know.
It's laughing at you.
It is. I mean, that's the worst thing about it.
Perfect shot.
Because you can,
it's rattling.
Yeah, you can have a bad shot, and all of a sudden you knock them all down.
Yeah,
and you go, how did that just happen?
You throw it light, and you mix them up.
But you hit a beautiful one, and you're like, what? No, that's, you know, what is going on?
Doesn't make sense.
Like, come on.
But, you know, the thing about it is, and I think that both you guys, you know, you can talk about it and enjoy it as well, is that, you know, this is one of those sports that you learn now and you're having fun with that throughout your life, you can always, hey, let's go down bowling alley. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can always go have fun with it. And I think that's something that, you know, is, you know, I know a lot of people that don't bowl at all, aren't very good, can still go have fun.
Right.
But I know, I mean, it's an enjoyable thing that you guys can do for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. Absolutely. It'll be a fun thing to take with us, you know, and go with buddies or whatever, wherever, you know, or do leagues or.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's just hard to believe, you know, gosh, you know, I'm 70 years old now, but we talk about, why didn't we have high school bowling that would have just hit so many people?
Right.
You're not influencing on camp, you know, practicing, trying to find a place to practice and that. Mm-hmm. It builds great value for the local house, the local bowling. Mm-hmm. It's just something that's, I don't know how it took so long.
Right.
Yeah.
Coach, how did that happen? It took us a long time to do this, but it should have been done years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing to think about. You know, I mean, when we grew up, it was only, you know, our Saturday morning youth leagues. That was the only thing
we ever did.
Wow. And, you know, I played all different sports in high school, but, you know, we bowled every Saturday morning until I got to that certain age. And then it was, you know, some people still carried on and did it, but everybody else was kind of done with that. Mm-hmm. So, but again, so, you know, looking forward to, I'm glad that you were able to intern, as we talked earlier, kind of go transitioning back to that a little bit to find out, you know, what you really would like to do. And I think it's a neat thing that you've kind of discovered what you can do. And I tell you one thing, you're a very good speaker, so keep that in mind and moving forward, that, you know, if you're going to be in that position, that's the thing that really would help you.
Jeff, for student athletes, is ideal internships can happen during the year, right? Mm-hmm. Well, for people that are like these guys that are playing both semesters, you probably did yours in the summer, right?
I did.
And that's, you almost have to do it in the summer. And the same token, a lot of you are trying to make a lot of money in the summer to come back, right?
Right.
Because we've seen that a lot with some of our student athletes that where internships are required, like sports management, mm-hmm. and they had to do them in the summer.
Yeah.
And I still think it's great, you know, that it's just, you guys got a full year is what I'm trying to say, especially if you're in the band, too, and all that.
It never stops.
Yeah, I can't even imagine for that.
It's busy.
Have you active in other things on campus?
Nope, not at the moment, but just bowling, and keeping the grades up.
There you go. That's a good thing. I bet your parents are probably happy with that, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, again, guys, thank you very much. We appreciate your time, and good luck the rest of the way. And we're going to pick Coach's brain here in a minute. So we're going to talk a little more Saints bowling right here. 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
The top online bachelor's degree program in Michigan is now offering a completely online MBA degree. The Siena Heights University MBA will help students hone skills and better develop their talents as ethical business innovators. Business graduates, as well as students from many other majors, including nursing and engineering, are good candidates for the Siena Heights MBA. And no prerequisite entry courses are required. Classes are enrolling now. To find out more, visit start.sienaheights.edu/MBA. Learn what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu. At Siena Heights University, we make transferring easy and ensure you're on your best path forward. Study online with our nationally ranked program, or commute from home and get the traditional college experience by taking courses on our Adrian campus. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Visit siennaheights.edu and find out what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
And welcome back. Saint Sports Weekly here. 965 The Cave, 965thecave.com. Jeff Bowman, Coach Fred Smith. And we're bringing in Coach Kane. He's been critiquing all of his team here.
I have.
What do you got to follow up on and tell them how either good or bad they did?
Well, let me start by you were asking about how they felt about 10 pins. On Friday, our men's team set a school record by shooting a 299 Baker game. Logan Cook, our anchor bowler, left a stone 9-pin. And for those bowlers out there, will know what I mean when I say it was absolutely brutal.
Well, we saw
it. Yeah, the video of it is.
We saw the video.
I feel bad for him.
Buried it.
That's so tough.
Maybe if he'd went back to one-handed, he would have carried. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's probably true. That could be a possibility.
Awesome. That must have been a fun exciting thing.
Yeah, it was a great weekend for our men and women just to see them, you know, do so well both days.
Right.
It was really good to see. Definitely helped both teams' chances to make sectionals, which you guys talked about earlier. Because that's my goal for the team every year.
So do you tell him he's just not strong enough to do one hand? Is that why he does it two-handed?
Yeah. Because he can't do it one, he's got to use that second hand.
Yeah.
Actually, I mean, two-handers are taking over the sport.
Yeah. That's what you said a couple years ago.
Yeah, and there's no reason why you wouldn't want to bowl two-handed. You can create more ball speed, hook the ball more, create more power, which is what today's game's about. So if you can bowl two-handed, there's no reason not to.
Is the old guard, is it kind of like the skiers and the snowboarders that don't agree with each other, or are some of the old guard realizing that this is maybe the way to go?
I'll answer it by saying I stay away from social media, especially when it comes to bowling. Yeah, I mean, it's gotten better now, but, you know, 10 years ago, it was, you know, two-handed was a bad word.
Yeah.
When you had pros on tour that were, any chance they got, they were knocking two-handed, calling it cheating, you know, set a bad example. But, you know.
How was that rule ever? I mean, was it ever a rule that you couldn't, or how did the, you know, did it finally come to fruition that more, that especially at the pro level where they were allowing two-handers?
Well, in certified competition, the rule is you have to release the ball with one hand. If you watch any video of a two-handed bowler that's been taught the correct way, they actually only release the ball with one hand. That offhand is generally used to help the wrist stay cupped through the swing longer, which allows them to generate more revolutions on the ball. Plus, since they're using two hands, it can create more speed. But when you see them at the release, their offhand is off the ball. So they're not breaking any rules.
Well, you know, I, again, liken it to golf. What has happened over the years, Jeff, you know this, when the long putter came in.
Yep.
And then not only that, you couldn't anchor it. And that means, you know, have it here.
Yeah, the belly putter.
And the belly putter. And even, you know, you got Bernard Anger, his second hand technically can't be. Now, unless you're looking, it's really close, right?
Yeah, but you can't be up against the chest.
To me, as a putter, however way you could putt it, God bless you, good for you. But that was a very controversial within the golf community, you know, the whole idea of belly putting, this and that. So I can understand understand that. And it's good that you stay away from that social media presence, smart thing.
And it's become a lot more acceptable now. Again, as more pros have become successful with the two-handed style, I mean, if you're going to be on tour, do you want to make money or do you want to just sit back and complain about it?
Right.
And, you know, especially in Europe, I was reading an article earlier. Europe has embraced, at the European World Championships, I think they said there were 23 female two-handers that made the first cut, and it's exploding.
Yeah.
For years.
But I mean, you can go back to like tennis, a two-handed backhand.
Yes,
so that was something that was never, ever used.
And then you saw, Jimmy Connors, Chris Evert were the first two.
But we're aging ourselves.
Years and years ago, when the left-handers came in and dominated for a while, the Earl Anthony's and the day, all those guys. And that was,
Yeah, you still hear people, even two-handers complain about lefties. So lefties are still persecuted just for being lefty.
Yeah, I can't understand.
But is there something to that, though, when you look at because of the oil patterns, and because later on, especially in a match, when you have so many right-handers, that's going to have to take up some of that oil. Where a lefty, if there's not as many doing it, the oil pattern's going to stay truer longer, and I mean it doesn't get used up, and so I can see where either the advantage or disadvantage of being on the opposite side of that.
No, correct. Again, it's both a good and a bad thing, right? The good thing is if there aren't many lefties, they don't have to worry about the changing of the oil pattern.
Right.
But because there aren't a lot of lefties, you also don't have the benefit of another lefty creating some sort of misroom or breaking down the oil pattern to make it easier for them.
Right.
So you'll generally see, especially on tour, if it's a pattern that is helpful for lefties, you'll see several lefties make the cut and two or three make the television show.
Right.
But if it's not, you might not see a lefty at all on television. Yeah. So it's trying to find that balance. And, with our patterns, right, there's a couple of guys that run a lot of college tournaments, and they will purposefully make the left side harder to make it more challenging for lefties.
Well, like this weekend when you and I forget coach's name from Adrian College, he owns the bowling alley, but do you have any control over those patterns? And can you practice what you might have that weekend?
Yeah,
does that make a sense or not?
Yep. So whoever's running the tournament gets to decide. Now, when we go into postseason play, the USBC or the NAIA will make that decision. Generally, we try to get the patterns out a couple of weeks ahead of time.
So
like in my case, we gave the school. Try to get it out a week or two before to give them the opportunity to practice on it.
Got it.
So we chose, and every school that runs a tournament, I'm sure, tries to find a pattern or patterns that are conducive to the strengths that their team has.
Right.
So like for our men, we bowled, for our tournament, we bowled on a longer pattern that was 47 feet long, from the foul line out 47 feet. Because our guys, we did that pattern as part of our inner squad tournament in the beginning of the season. And they did really well. And again, with a lot of two-handers who have a higher rev rate, they can bowl on these longer patterns very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that showed on Saturday. And for our women, we went with something shorter. A, because we don't see a lot of short patterns. And again, I think that we felt that that was going to give us an advantage on the women's side, is that maybe not a lot of the other schools get to see a shorter oil pattern, which means they'd have to play further towards the
right.
channel, which a lot of bowlers aren't comfortable with doing these mm-hmm. days, because modern bowling balls are so... You guys talked about technology, right? Modern bowling balls are created to generate so much hook that they don't have to play. You know, when we were bowling, and I'm going to date myself, you know, 45 years ago, we bowling, you know, with bowling balls that almost plastic. We had to move way right, play
right.
up the first arrow,
right.
and if the ball hooked three boards, we were excited. Now the ball will hook 20 boards out of the box,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And it's just completely different animal.
Now, when you mentioned that you give the pattern out, they can practice that pattern, but is it from house to house, though? Is it a little bit different? I mean, you know, each oil machine and the wood itself from, you know, maybe how old or new an alley is. So you can give them that, but it's still probably not going to be exactly the same.
Correct. House to house, even lane to lane within a bowling center, the weather, the time of year will affect it, you know. Something that's, I say new, but within the last 10 or years, there's been a lot of study on the topography of the lane.
Mm-hmm.
Wood is kind of a relic now. Most every center will be some type of synthetic surface.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
But even then, the wear from open play, league play, will change from a topographical standpoint.
Right.
The lane. At the Team USA trials out in Vegas before the tournament, the bowling center will give every player a large notebook that has the topography of every lane in the building.
Wow.
So that they know ahead of time where the peaks are, where the valleys are of the lane. Because, again, when you put the oil down, the oil is going to settle in the
yeah.
valleys and not be as present on the peaks.
Right.
And when you're looking at a board is about an inch
yeah.
wide, you've got... One board could be completely different from the one next to it based on how the people over the history of the center have bowled on those lanes.
Logan is probably the difference between that 9-pin falling or not.
Correct.
So, Coach, you know, you're coming off probably one of the best, and you are our bowling program here at Siena. You've been here all these years and done so much for not only bowling at Siena, but bowling in the NAIA and throughout the state, but this was one of our biggest weekends ever.
Absolutely. Our girls, this was our first win in about 7 years.
Wow.
Actually, probably longer than that. And our men, none of our teams have ever won back-to-back tournaments.
Yeah.
So, or two tournaments in a year. So our men accomplished something that, again, in the 15 years of the program, hadn't been done before, is pretty impressive. And I think that's a testament to the group of gentlemen that we have on our team this year. Again, I think they're realizing finally the talent that they have. And I expect them to become even more fearless going forward. The WAC is such a tough conference in every sport. It's pretty astounding. You know, you've got Lawrence Tech, defending mm-hmm. NAIA champions, Indiana Tech, the women mm-hmm. were champions a couple years ago. You've got Concordia, who's in their last year, so they're motivated, and they've been strong for the last several years. The Madonna men mm-hmm. are really good. Their women were good a couple years ago. Cleary, all of a sudden,
just come right into it.
Yeah, they have gotten really good, really fast. Aquinas has always been solid. I mean, Dearborn men last year had an outstanding year, and they're good this year. So it's top to bottom, it's tough. And when you, we're only going to get one team to get an at-large bid to the NAIA tournament because they're only taking 12 teams.
That's got to be
it's tough. There's going to be teams that are deserving that are going to be on the outside.
Yeah. You could almost win it if they got
absolutely
hot.
Yeah. Absolutely. And they're not going to get it. They're not going to get in. What do you do?
Yeah. So you've got a month off. I heard one of the – I think Cooper say you've got a month off. What's your next event?
Will be the WAC 3 event out in Sterling Heights at Five Star Lanes. And then we'll be going to winter break.
Right.
And then WAC 4 will be the first weekend in February, I believe, out at Thunderbowl.
Wow. Yeah, so you get what, in one in December and then not until February again.
Yeah, well, I think we're competing in January.
Yeah,
we
because
might
you
not,
said there was a ton of invitations.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we've got the WAC event, and then we have the Hoosier, which is the last regular season in Indianapolis. There'll be 80 men's teams and over 75 women's teams there, which is the largest collegiate tournament of the year. When you think that there's probably about 120 schools with a men's program and about 112 women's teams.
Well, you got three quarters of them at the one event.
Yep, 75% of them will be at that event, and there's a waiting list. I was talking to Jim earlier. Yeah. So we're not dropping it because if we do, we'll never get back in.
Yeah. And Indy's a great city, you know, 3.5-4 hour drive, and not bad.
And then we have the WAC tournament the following weekend, and then knock on wood, sectional assignments, and hopefully they'll send us to Vegas this year.
Yeah.
So, got to work on advancement, Fred. We need money to go.
Go to Vegas,
Yes, sir. I'll take you with me.
Yeah. Hey, I haven't been to Vegas in a long time.
Me either.
Well, that's one thing we talked about, though, before you guys got here, Coach and I. We only just got about another minute and a half left, is even, you know, the travel of, you know, Indy and that, the nice thing about it is there's so many good houses around here and such good competition in the WAC is that it's one of those conferences, too, where you're not having to just go a long ways away to find competition. It's right in your backyard.
But sometimes you like to, you know, see somebody else,
Yeah,
too.
That's true, too.
Yeah, that wouldn't hurt.
Well, Coach, you know, again, recruiting side, we just got about a minute left, is how is that going for you? And is this day and age with you know, video and everything that's going on and stuff, does it make it easier to kind of be able to kind of see who they are and what they are before you even get to them?
Sure. It's easier to see because of social media and, you know, now recruiting videos for bowling has become more of a thing the last few years. So that's easier. But because there are so many more schools now offering programs, and NCAA's added women's bowling. The competition for bowlers, especially on the women's side, has become a lot tougher. Mm-hmm. We did sign a young lady a couple of weeks ago out of Tecumseh, Michaela Hill.
Okay.
So we're excited to bring her in the fold. We're looking at adding another young lady from Ohio, and we've got some gentlemen that we're looking at in the works that we're trying to talk them into choosing Siena Heights.
Yeah. Yeah, that's got to be the tough part, especially when you said when there's adding more and more.
Every year.
Yeah, that makes the makes it a little tougher out there. Well, again, guys, thank you. We appreciate it a lot, and I'm glad you had some good success last weekend and, you know, keep moving forward with it. Again, Coach, I know we enjoy talking and learning about the collegiate bowling side of it, too. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having us. It's been fun.
Always appreciate it. All right, go Saints. We'll be back next week here. Saints Sports Weekly, 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.